Punk rock icon John Rotten Lydon, who will always be Johnny Rotten to me, he's been a busy chap. He played the highly successful 2015 live dates in the UK, Europe and North America. His band Public Image Limited, or PIL, released their critically acclaimed and best-selling album, What the World Needs Now. Now, as promised, he's returning, and he heads back to the Steel City at Sheffield's O2 Academy on June the 7th. And to tell us all about it, and to put the world to rights, I'm sure he will, I have him on the phone, and John, what an enormous pleasure. How are you?
He lives, you know, and the longer I live, the better I seem to be getting. One of the gifts of life, the more you learn, the better you are.
Let's cut to the chase. Let's clear this one up first. You've been called a lot worse, but you started life as John Joseph Lydon, then he became Johnny Rotten in the Sex Pistols, then John Lydon, and now I'm seeing you build on your tours as John Rotten Lydon. Is that rotten bit going to stay with you forever?
Yeah, well, I earned a right. It was a nickname given to me by Steve Jones when we first started the Pistols, and I never liked it at the time, but, you know. And then when that band split up, the management was claiming that they owned that nickname, and so I fought a court case to get it back, and ever since I've been quite proud of it. I achieved quite a lot as Rotten, as he's part of my character.
I also need to say a belated happy birthday as well. I hope you don't mind me reminding everyone, but you turned 60.
No, 60 years young. Fantastic achievement.
How does that feel?
Well, I tell you, listen, mate, I'm seeing my peers, if you want to call them that, dying left, right and centre around me. It's like I'm kind of existing at the moment in a musical graveyard. Lots of buckets being kicked.
I suppose that's one thing about getting older.
Yeah, it is, and it's sad, and I miss every single one of them, you know. But that's me, that's how I am in life. I think what we have is one life, and lead it to the best you can. When you go, wow, God, do I miss you on what? Even my enemies I'm like this about.
What are they going to say about you when you've gone, Joe?
It's him what did it. Well, if it be my quote, and then... Sorry, officer, I was asleep at the time and I'm frightened of reprisals. Anything you like. I'm not one for this graveyard thing. And I've got to say, I'll tell you, the way Bowie sent himself off was with great dignity. That he didn't arrange any elaborate funeral service. It was basically a pauper's grave. Somebody came round with a wooden box and that was it, the end of it. That's class.
Is that what you'll do, John?
I think that's the decent way. Don't drag it on and don't blow it up into something that it isn't. There's great dignity in that. And let people remember you as a live person, not a dead carcass.
Well, I want to move on from this subject because I want to say there's a lot of life left in you yet. Let's talk about these UK dates and what fans are going to get.
The high energy, 100% commitment and honesty and an integrity in the song. I'm someone who deliberately turned away from becoming an idiot pop star, and I think I've managed to survive quite well without those trappings. I can still walk down to the local bleeding supermarket and buy my butt up. I need that sense of freedom of movement. I'm not one for hiding behind electric fences in huge estates. I'm a social creature. My songs are about me peoples, you know? My family, my friends, my culture.
When I'm asking John about what fans are going to get, and I know they're going to get the energy, but is this just going to be a platform for What the World Needs Now, your latest album?
Well, it's quite a few of the songs off it, yeah. But, a lot of it will be live. And indeed, the way the album was recorded was very nearly what you would call live. We like to do that. We view everything about live. That's what Public Image is. It's a live performance. And so when we go into record, it's, we might as well just record it all at once, live. Zings off the vinyl or the CD because of that.
But it was that vibrancy that made you so special. And I'm sure that everybody will forever remember you as part of one of the greatest rock bands of all time. And that changed the way bands recorded, their thinking, the aspirations of a generation. Yeah. Of course, the Sex Pistols. Do you actually include any of that in the live gigs these days?
No need. I used 2 years ago, just, you know, saucily to remind people who were trying to forget. But now I don't need to. It's been public image now for a real long, serious time.
Next year it's the 40th anniversary of Nevermind the Bollocks album.
Yeah.
And, you know, you think of things like Pretty Vacant and Anarchy in the UK, God Save the Queen, All in the Sun. Great, great tracks. I remember seeing McCartney at the arena and, you know, thank God he threw in all the Beatles stuff as well.
Yeah.
And, you know, people want it. There's an appetite. Wouldn't you do it? Would you come back? Would you do that album again on the 40th anniversary, John?
No, I don't want to. That was something I did with the lads and... I don't ever like to step outside of that and take that away from them. I used to every now and again chuck in Anarchy for a laugh, and but that's about it. I don't want to disrespect them too much. I'll tell you, as a band, we were just always just arguing and squabbling in them days. And now that we're not working together, we can become friends again. I mean, I'm really, you know, I do like Paul Cook a lot, and I like Steve, and I want to view them as my friends. But as soon as we're together in any working relationship, it turns into war. And I'd rather have my friends than making people bounce up and down to Nevermind the Bollocks Part 2.
You've said this before, though, John, and I remember in 2007, after years of saying you'd never get back together, you recorded Pretty Vacant again, and then... You actually did some live dates.
Yeah, no, we re-recorded it because the original master was apparently damaged. And that was for a video game.
It was, but you did some live dates on the back of it. Are you saying that that's behind you? Never going to do it again?
Yeah, no, that's gone now. That's gone now. The last conversation I had with Paul, we decided that it was separating us. And why bother? I mean, Paul comes to pill gigs, you know, we're mates. And I want that more than anything.
But, you know, you said that you had, you know, some bad times during that period. But, I mean, I remember our last conversation, you said that you felt very, very brotherly, if not fatherly, to Sid Vicious. And I think Malcolm McLaren played a big part in your life as well.
Yeah. And I want to remember them as friends.
Mm.
And not forever tried John. I've musically gone off into far higher areas, I think. I can't keep repeating the angst of it all that I was going through at 18. I have to deal with my life, and as my age improves, so will my concept of writing about my life. 60, and I feel very young and sprightly, and I'm representing what I am in music. As I am now. And I do not want to go back and imitate the past. We've had fun doing that, but that was it.
Well, that's a great philosophy. And to be honest with you, I mean, I'd still call it your new band, but how long's Pill been together now?
Oh, in all its various shapes and guises, I would say 40 years.
Does it feel that long?
No, it doesn't. More like 30, so...
Well, do you know what though? It's a lot more experimental than what you did, obviously, with the Sex Pistols.
I don't want to ever limit myself. I was given the gift of being in a band, and so I want to use that gift properly and advance what it is I do, and not just imitate myself.
You know, we talked about Bowie a bit earlier, and you're similar. You are a bit of a chameleon. You clamoured for change. You reinvented yourself. You explore musical styles through your solo career. Is it a challenge or just
an... with the word chameleon, though, because I don't hide anything. Mm.
No, that's true. But just... but is what we see on stage... Is what we see on stage, though, John, is it just an image, or is it really who you are?
No, that's my heart and soul, and it's a high-risk place to put myself to, but I think it's important that... stand up and take that moment to be as honest to everybody and myself as I possibly can be. I go on stone cold sober and take the consequences if I'm no good. It's not easy. None of this is. And so I have great empathy for everyone in bands, even the horribly fake ones, because of the agony you go through before you get on that stage. It's sometimes overwhelming. just 10 minutes before going on, I'd be looking for where the exit is and thinking, you know, I could just run away.
Do you still feel like that now, John?
No, I don't no more. No. And that must be because the working environment I'm now in, with one of very close friends to me, is far, far better. The people I'm on stage with, I know that there won't be deliberate bum notes to lead me astray. Far different.
Do you know what? I've got an 18-year-old lad and he's just got his own indie band together, called him Harry Walker. Yeah. The band's called Sundance. They're great. And I used to take him to football on Sunday morning and get really involved in it. And now I'm getting really involved in the band scene. And there's literally hundreds of bands. And, his band have been inspired by your work, what you've done. I mean, how does it feel to think that 40 years on, you're still inspiring new bands to come out and go forward? And what advice would you give them?
Well, I'd have to hear what they sound like before I'd congratulate myself on that. But I'm being silly with you. Listen, it's a fantastic thing to know that your commitment and your life's work is acknowledged by others, all right?
Yeah, it must be.
And that it has some real value to people. Not to be a clown pop star. There's many that would call me that, but then they've got to look at my track record, and I think my track record proves that I walked away from every opportunity to be a lazy-ass pop star. And I did so very, very openly.
And very early as well.
And very early. Rested on my laurels, not ever. Always ready for the next big brave leap.
Have you always been trying to shrug off that image though, John?
Not shrug it off, just not get contaminated with it.
Yeah.
If you hang around too long, the dust begins to show.
But it's a different world, John, than when you started out. What advice would you give to bands like my lad's band? What would you say to them?
Well, I'm waiting for the youth rebellion.
You think it's still about rebellion?
Yeah, of course there will be. We might not even notice it. Their rebellion might be very different from what we have in mind.
What about the pensioner rebellion, John?
Oh, yes. I can't wait for my bus pass.
Listen, I just need to mention that the book, well, I've got to go back to that. Outspoken, controversial, heartfelt, absolutely amazing. Anger is an energy. If nobody's read it then get it. It's brilliant. And it's full of your extraordinary life, full of surprises, humour, emotion. There's got to be a follow-up, John, isn't there? Because there's so much happens to you every day.
I know. And even putting it together was, oh, my God, what do we have to leave out? Because the book, it's a big book. But I don't think it even scrapes at the amount of experiences. And so it becomes an editing process, doesn't it? To keep it short, sharp, sweet, and to the point. Otherwise, there's always the danger of being overindulgent and mentioning even down to the last cup of tea you liked. So keep it clear and keep it to the point where it's what other human beings can share with you and understand.
Would you do another book, though, John?
Yeah, in a heartbeat. A few years to wait for it.
We'll keep you to that and we'll have you back to the Sheffield Off the Shelf Festival when you do it.
They're good things, them book signing and interview situations. At least the way I work them. Because I always made them like it's sitting down and talking to your friends.
With the band, you just move from city to city. And I suppose a lot of the fans, they obviously come to see you, but they don't get to meet you. Do you ever have any signing sessions or will that happen in Sheffield?
I normally do that stuff after the gig. I'm always out in the street.
Well, I'm sure there'll be thousands waiting for you now you've said that.
Bloody hell. No, I never do that. They don't like about that, and it's become a problem, is a lot of the bootleggers are waiting outside, and that can be a problem.
I suppose you're getting more vinyl pushed under your nose again these days, aren't you?
Anybody who's made a record and wants to give me a free copy, I love them to death for.
No, I mean, a lot of your old, Never Mind the Bollocks album, for instance.
Well, a lot of that's what you call eBay. And you have to have the acknowledgement to know if they're a true fan or not. Mm. Very good relationship with our audiences, and they'll give us a nod and a wink and tell us who the eBayers are. So here's my word of advice. eBayers don't bother to come because you will not be serviced properly.
Brilliant. All right, now listen, I've got to ask you about this. One of your 2016 UK tour dates, it's the Bearded Theory Festival in Walton-on-Trent. Now, is it obligatory to have a beard to get in, and will you be sporting one?
Better not be, although our Lou in the band, he's got the biggest beard I've ever seen. Disgusting fashion trend.
Don't say that, you're playing their festival.
These people before, we did a festival down in Dorset, and it was fantastic. This was really up for a good old bleeding knees up, and, you know, that's definitely Public Image's way of thinking. The crowd there just seemed really genuinely shocked and surprised at just how good Public Image is. There's been an awful lot of, you know, negative nonsense over the years said about me. And these, you know, what would you call them, rave people? They were oblivious to the reality. Well, they caught on quick. So now we have a common ground between each other.
That's a good old knees up, yeah?
Yeah.
You know, a lot of people would say that, John, that you definitely deserve a knighthood. And I know that there's been another campaign going and wanting you to that. But I know, well, I was going to ask you because I think you'd kind of turned down the idea of an MBE. Wouldn't you like to be Sir Johnny Rotten?
No. No, I'm John. I've got no grandiose ideas about myself. And I don't mind pageantry, but I don't want to be involved personally in pomp and circumstance and self-aggrandisement. That's no, thank you. The word sir, I mean, this is part of the problem I had at school when I was young and being thrown out, was because I wouldn't call anybody sir. Not ever. Now, I have the attitude, I'll call the dustman sir. Morning, sir. Right? Because I think they earn it.
Brilliant.
But the privileged classes, no fucking way.
All right, well, look, I've got to ask you about this. You play Sheffield 2 weeks before the referendum on whether we should stay or leave the EU. How would you vote, and what should the rest of us do?
I don't know. I'm living in America. What advice could I possibly give you except get the fuck out before that ship sinks?
I expected nothing less from you, John.
What would Britain do without it? You'd become a very, very small, insubstantial, insignificant little island. Very open then to victimisation. As indeed is happening at the moment from Russia, the way it flies bombers and fighter planes around the island, encircling you on a daily basis, just to let you know how you don't count. You know?
Yeah.
I suppose all that's left really is to become the 53rd American state.
Well, I mean, you've joined it. You're over there. I mean, is it a better life?
Yeah, and willingly too. It's a new country. Hasn't yet found itself. That's plenty good reason for me to be here.
Do you miss the rain?
The rain? Well, I think I have enough rain in January. It rains twice a year here in January. That's enough. I don't miss all them bronchial diseases and illnesses I just keep picking up. Because, you know, I'm a sickly child from, you know, when I was young, kind of bacterial infection. So I have to be careful. Much rather go surfing, dude.
Yeah. Well, look. I just need to ask you, just finally, obviously, we're missing you off TV, we want you back on. I know the animal programmes were great, the documentary stuff. Any more plans? Are you coming back? Are you doing something on TV?
Yeah, we're at the moment heavily involved in studying American history and the Civil War. And that's definitely going to cause some problems, because Americans like to tell lies about their past. I like the truth of the thing. I think that that's far more interesting.
Yeah, but watch, you don't get thrown out, John, because it rains more than twice in Great Britain.
It's thrown in into jail again. I don't want to risk. You know, they're very big on Mr. Big and gang rape in American prisons. I don't fancy none of that at all.
What next, John, after the tour? And have we got more music, more recordings coming, more live gigs?
Yeah, well, I reckon that's enough to be getting on with for the moment, don't you?
Absolutely.
I don't plan my life too far in the future. But in the next 2 years, that's solidly me committed, and that's good enough. I'm the kind of bloke who's going to be making music till, well, at least I'm 100. And then maybe the arthritis will get in the way, but then I'll find a way around dealing with that too.
John, I wouldn't expect anything less from you. It's always an absolute pleasure to talk to you. Can't wait for the gigs in Sheffield. Can't wait for a great knees up. I know we're going to get one. And like I say, just always a pleasure to have you back on
Drive. I'm like the Duracell bunny. I just keep going and going.
Yeah, well, you keep going, mate. Thanks a lot, John. Thank you ever so much for your time.
Peace. May the road rise. The enemies always be behind you. May the scatter, flatter, batter and the shatter.
Cheers, man.
Cheers.